Everyone, welcome to Reflections. The topic today is that continuing journey of your own personal and professional development. So this morning I was able to take a really nice walk out very early and go and grab a coffee. And as I was walking down the street, it was just so beautiful. The sun was out, the trees were swaying in the wind, and I just was able to have those moments of gratitude that sometimes can pass us by when we're rushing around from one thing to the next. And it's occurred to me with some of the work that I've done with people over the last year that when we're on the journey towards either exploring what kind of things get in the way of us feeling happy, peace, joy, abundant, satisfied, whatever the thing is that you're reaching for, are sometimes the patterns that come up that we need to really pay attention to. Sometimes we don't really have to go digging for them. Life can bring opportunities in our relationships with people, things that happen to us at work, or day-to-day challenges that we can come into contact with. And they don't have to be big challenges. But what can often happen is when people have been on a journey where they've experienced struggle and challenge for a long time, that even when things start to lift, there can sometimes be an expectation that further down the road, that good feeling, that good space, and the changes that they've made are going to be soluble, that they're not going to last. So one of the conversations that I have with people that I come into contact with is, how do you create a lifestyle, or how do you create a system that's going to help you get to a more buoyant state without bypassing some of the real deep emotions and experiences that you can feel, whether that's for, an hour, a couple of hours, or longer, as well as there are times in our lives when bigger things happen, birth, death, marriages, losing people that are important to us, are high on the stress index in terms of, it can really take impacts out of us. And when we're going through those times, we need to tap into all the resources that enable us to get through those stressful periods. When time settles and things are going back into more of the, potentially mundane world, or the day-to-day activities of going from A to B and living your lives in the way that you do, it's really important to start to think about the kind of things that do go well, the things that work out, and how we got through those challenges. I mean, these are all different things that we can record. If anyone does any kind of journaling, you can record these different things in your journal. But some of the key things that I say to people that I work with, that when they're starting to feel an improvement in how they feel, the fear and anxiety that those old moods and difficult feelings can come back. And the thing is, they can. We go through a cycle of different emotions. And, just as we might feel elated, joyous, and happy because we're celebrating and spending time with friends, we can come down from those emotions and start to feel like the mundane aspects of life and get about our business of shopping and going to work. And it may be that we enjoy all of our aspects of work, or it may be that, work can also be providing a challenge, or even that we've outgrown what we're doing. So I really wanted to look at the sort of simple elements. So those simple elements are the kind of things that we can do every day without having to try and sign up to a new class and make massive behavioral changes. Because what we know in psychology is that any changes that you start to make, no matter how small, incrementally will start to have a longer lasting impact on who you are and the way that you live your life, and even start to help you make changes in your life and go towards the things that maybe you've dreamed of or aspired to, but not felt confident enough, or that those things are actually going to materialize in the real world. So aspects like getting out for a walk in the morning, regardless of whether it's raining or it's sunny, and getting some fresh air and being able to get out and think. Some people start work straight away and go straight into their emails other than bombarded by hundreds of emails requesting them to do certain things. It really depends on the kind of work that you do. I work differently each day, so I'm able to get out a few times a week and have a walk. And this morning, like I said, I felt blessed because the sun was out and the trees were swaying. And it was just a really nice feeling to get an hour and a half in before I started the day working with clients. So there's an aspect of mindfulness to that. You can try mindfulness wherever you are. If you're walking down the road, you can slow everything down and see if you can notice What things attract your attention that you like, whether it's bird song, whether the trees are swaying in the wind, whether the sun is shining through the trees and creating some shadow and light. I do some photography and I love those moments capture my attention. And that's the aspect that we're looking for, is the things that capture your attention that can move you away from any of those less purposeful moods that can sometimes, if we give them too much attention, like anxiety and low mood or depression, that they can escalate. And once they've started to grow, on a morning or in the afternoon, it can be very difficult to then slip out of that. I was listening to Abraham Hicks, The Law of Attraction, once, and she gave the story of or the metaphor that if you've got two train tracks and your thoughts are on a speeding train, it's very difficult to slow down a speeding train and even stop it, mid-flow. Is often, when you put the brakes on, it's a good, 100, 200, 300 foot before that speeding train is able to come to a halt. Whereas if your thoughts are slow and they're coming in, they're starting to emerge, if you're on the slow train, you're able to sort of pay attention to what's passing through your mind and then make a decision as to whether to let those thoughts go and park those, write them in a journal, or even just put some notes on your phone and things that you think you might want to attend to at a later point in the day, especially important things that are grasping your attention. And when we allow ourselves to get into a mindful state, what they say in fields like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, it's very hard to solve a problem from the state of mind that created it in the first place, regardless of whether that is an internal challenge or an external challenge that we're facing. So it's usually productive and conductive to be able to get into a more relaxed, mindful state. And that can be done over the course of 5 minutes. So if we do that for 5 minutes every day or 5 minutes every hour, able to sit back in our office chair or go for a walk or put the kettle on and really tune into the moment. And that's what mindfulness is, really. It's about being able to be in the moment and pay attention to your breath, to the way that your body feels, to how you're sat, to where you're storing tension in the body and where your body feels quite relaxed. If you were to do that now, you could take that deep breath and just start to notice where you're sat, how your feet feel in your shoes, how your shoulders feel, what your breath feels like. Does it feel stilted, or does it feel like you can take a deep flow of breath in? And so mindfulness is a practice that over time, as we know with brain neuropsychiatry research, is that you can actually start to sort of shift from the familiar neural patterns and pathways in the mind of behaviors that we kind of just end up experiencing or being in. And there will be days where that's harder to do, based on the kind of things that are going on around us, or those internal worries and concerns that escalate. But like I said, if you move into that mindful zone, it's easier to slow down time, write down the kind of things that you need to do in terms of your tasks. Often it's just a case of saying, what are the two or three things that I really need to do today to make sure that I feel the day has gone well? And that can be very simple things. For some people, if they're in a chronic state of illness or depression, sometimes that's just being able to get up and put the bins out and maybe write a shopping list, or maybe cooking a new recipe for the first time in weeks because you felt too sick. For other people, it might be that, you have a few things to take to the dry cleaners and you've got to get the children a new pair of shoes. Or it can be bigger things. You've got a trip coming up and you need to do a Google search. So it's worth thinking about the gaps of time in your day, whether that is before you start work or during the day or afterwards, where you can then do some of those things. And if you set it at two or three, often it's easier to achieve and we won't feel as overwhelmed if we haven't got absolutely everything that's coming at us in terms of things that we need to do. And then that's where I teach clients about timeline, is what is the most important thing that we need to make sure that we address today, and what can wait? What can wait till tomorrow? And of course, we can approach work tasks like that. There's lots in the field of working life and coaching to get people to think about, when you wake up in the morning, how to really utilize your brain. And often they're talking to CEOs and executives about how they can also get into mindful states, write down the pressing tasks and the meetings that they need to have and the information they need to have at hand, as well as any of the other wider conversations or things that they need to do in their lives. And then what can we delegate? What can we get other people in our family or our lives to do? So in that walk this morning, it was about being able to really be present and have that mindful moment. And I had a few thoughts about the kind of work that I was doing today, and some of the things were important to prepare for before I had a meeting. So for me, if I'm online doing a Zoom meeting, if I was doing a management meeting or presenting a workshop, it was about how do I get my mind in a state of feeling prepared, focused, but with focused attention. And again, mindfulness can help us do that. I practice yoga a few times a week. And as people who know that I've talked about previous car accident that I had in 2019, initially it was about being able to get mobile, because if we stay still and don't move and don't do any kind of stretching or activity, as we get older, we can lose that flexibility, that elasticity in our body, and also remain stiff. So it really makes a difference to have some kind of practice that you can do that gets you moving. So today I did a walk, yesterday I did the yoga, tomorrow I'll do a different type of yoga, which is more based on yin yoga, which means I stretch out and elongate, and it helps a lot of people who've got sciatica, lower back issues and shoulder issues, because a lot of us tend to sort of hunch over our desks. And as we're typing, we can hold stress in our body. And then if we're doing that for 7, 8 hours a day, our bodies are in a chronic state of stress. And then we don't realize that we are sort of holding all those emotions in our body, especially if we're stressed or angry. So again, it's important to have a routine that helps you unwind. I used to be quite poor at that years ago. I've got much better at it, I think, because I've managed to get the day spaced out in a way that gives me that ability to be able to make a drink and think and ponder, as well as be active and get on with the projects that I'm working on at the time. So that's mindfulness. And for people who practice mindfulness, it may be that when you're sat back in your office chair and you start to take some deep breaths and notice your breath, you can play some relaxing meditation type music that they have on YouTube. And you can just, in your lunch break, put on your headphones and practice that for 10, 15 minutes. The research is showing that 20 minutes a day, you can actually start to change the gray matter in the brain. And that will also influence our capacity, our decision making, which is linked with our prefrontal cortex and our capacity to remain in our minds. Even when we're stressed, we don't get locked into the emotions, or we might feel the emotions, but we're able to stay grounded. And of course, that can also be a challenge. So we can go through different cycles throughout the day. You know, if we go on the up in terms of levels of consciousness, we're heading towards love and joy, satisfaction, you know, peace, all sit at this sort of higher realm, and also apparently, you know, have different frequencies associated with them. And if we start to come down that wheel because we're tired, we've not eaten properly, we've not got the right nutrition, we're not getting the right level of rest, we can tend to come down that and sometimes drop back into old states and old patterns. Now, some of the clients that I work with have a really good level of self-awareness where they're able to recognize when they're getting agitated and frustrated, because actually pre-anger, pre-rage, pre-getting into fights and arguments, often there's a sort of agitation and there's a flow that is there in the background. Often, you know, if we're in a stressful job, it's easy to identify, and we might be thinking it's just about that job. But sometimes for certain people who have come from backgrounds where there was adverse childhood experiences, may have had their nervous system switched on too much. And we can use words like hypersensitivity. So you're hyper attuned to the sounds and the light and the things that are going on in the environment. So we have to learn to soothe our own nervous system. And I'll talk about that on another video. As time moves forward, we're understanding the impacts of trauma more and more on people. So it doesn't mean to say that you have to be victim to your past, but it will still play out, and there will be circumstances where we may struggle to keep ourselves in a better state. It depends on what you practice when you're not in your stress states. And high levels of stress on a continuous basis really do impact the immune system and make it difficult to function in day-to-day life. So it's about aiming for optimal functioning. It's just sad that most of us as humans stay within survival mechanisms. If we look at Richard's book, The Gene Keys, it talks about how humanity really is mostly in a state of survival. Even if we've moved into better waters and we've got more resources and we've got a house and we've got like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we've got food, we've got shelter, we've got loving kind relationships, and we may well exist in that space more at the time. But when we're tired and we don't eat properly or we go through a time of illness, we can drop down into those earlier states and mechanisms that protected us when we were grown up and as a child, but sometimes now can actually be interfering in our capacity to grow, expand, and feel better more and more of the time. But in terms of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Richard Rudd's work on the gene keys, he's got a website. You can look at that in more detail. But it's really just the baseline of understanding. If we looked at life in terms of as a continuum, in terms of our mental health, and we drew a line, we would say on this end, we're feeling okay, we're feeling great, we're feeling good. And on this side, we're not feeling okay. So there are certain things that we experience in life or throughout the day that will move us up and down that zone. And often we sit in the middle in terms of a state of stress will move us up and down that continuum. However, if we've got good resources internal, we've got a good internal adult, our own parenting style that doesn't demonize us or we don't criticize ourselves or judge ourselves, but say, hey, it's okay, you know, this is what happened. How do you want to deal with that? How do you want to come out of that stress zone? Or is the stress itself providing a different function for you? So we can move up and down that dial. There are, you know, proportion of people who will move further up that dial, because if you're in a constant stressful situation in your relationships, you've got sick children, you're going through difficulties at work, or you've got a toxic manager and you're spending a long time there and you're not getting the rest and everything else, it is much easier to move up there. So we know that a lot of decent workplaces that have got a good HR system that understand that there is a responsibility on employers to make sure that staff have the best experience that they can in their working lives so that they perform well. We know there's a direct correlation. We also know that we have to take responsibility ourselves, take accountability, and start to deploy some mechanisms, some tools that can support us. If we have a lot of things going on all the time and we're overwhelmed, if we find we're drinking a lot, then we might need to go and get some support around that as a coping mechanism. We might need to seek some therapy, some coaching, or learn some, or go online. There's lots of tools on there that help us think. So having creating a strategy can help. So after my car accident, the only strategy that I could have really was to get up. I used Epsom salts every morning in the bath because that's really good for aches and pains. And then I would do some stretching. It wasn't even really yoga at the time. And then it was about making a drink and thinking about the food that I ate so that I didn't create too much acid in the body, because that can affect whether we have aches and pains. And so the whole focus was on enabling the body to heal. But we need to heal psychologically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And lots of us are at different phases of that journey. So go back to this idea of what can you do every morning to set yourself well for the day. Start to get in some mindful moments. Write down what your intention is for the day. Do you want to feel focused, have positive mindset, and even use affirmations like, I'm really curious to how well my day can go. I'm looking forward to the meeting that I have where I can present my ideas, or I'm really looking forward to taking my children out to that new football club and spending some time with them. Start thinking about what you're looking forward to. And even if there are lots of challenges and stresses, then at those times, it helps to get some extra support. At the end of the day, think about what's gone well. Choose two or three things, Find them as much as you can. Do not use the time before bedtime to procrastinate and worry about all the things that are going on in your day-to-day life. Often we can't do anything at that time, and that means those worries will seep into and permeate our dream state. And if we wake up too early and we're dreaming too deeply, then that can influence how we feel when we wake up. So I often find with clients when they start to introduce some of those mindfulness moments of listening to relaxing music or meditations, they start to find their way and find things that work for them. They start to sleep better, and sleep is fundamental. And then start to think about all the other aspects. And it's one step at a time, it's incremental, and we'll start to notice that. Now, I don't get it right all the time. I still have days where early memories and things that have happened to me that I've experienced come up and sometimes are right in my face, and I need to sit back and think about what is it? What's the learning? What's the message from that? How can I heal or look at that from a different perspective? How can I process the emotions that sometimes lay dormant and stuck until there's a right time in which to process that? So hopefully you've found this reflection useful, and I look forward to sharing more with you as the days come up. Keep an eye out as well. Sign up to the channel because I've got lots of different events and festivals coming up over the year. I'm going to do some mini recordings on those, and no doubt some reflection sessions as well. Bye bye.